You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ah! Boy, Morales is doing a good job, isn't he?
Yeah.
Doing a always. Great job. I got all kinds of sassy stats for you. Hey, right at the top of the show, I want to mention that you can win a new Mazda CX-30 from OC Mazda. Win Mason's Mazda. Pay attention to everything we say today. Something will be on the quiz that we do Friday at 3:15. You get a chance to win one of four keys that will start the new Mazda from OC Mazda. Good luck. So, John, Lakers down 0-1 to the 8-seed Portland Trail Blazers. Morales raised the question. What do you think? Is this a must-win game for the Lakers?
No, of course not. It's a 7-game series.
Wait, you can't fall down 0-2.
Oh, please.
Can't fall down 0-2.
I already told you, the year Derek Fisher hit the .4 shot, they were down 0-2.
You can't let Portland continue to be hot. You've got to find a way to slow them down. Ultimately, it's a make or miss league, right? The Lakers have missed and missed and missed. They were 5 of 32 from 3 in game 1. And this is a nugget I came across. This is a sassy stat, John.
Good yep. for you.
The Lakers' offense has been terrible for a while now. From the trade deadline until the shutdown of the league, the Lakers were 22nd in offensive rating. And during the bubble, they have been last in offensive rating. They have not been going well for a while now. It predates the shutdown.
Right, but they just need to make shots. I mean, the whole thing that they're doing is they're not making shots. If they start making shots, I think that all of a sudden everything changes. I mean, Mace, this year, when the Lakers shoot north of 50% from the field in a yep. game, they're 26-0. And they shoot 48% on the season. So, I mean, they just need to get
shots. Got to make your threes, Danny Green.
I don't know
Green,
if they need five, to make...
You do. Danny Green's 5 of 33 in the bubble. KCP's 5 of 23 in the bubble.
Right.
Those are guys that shot 36, 37% during the regular season.
So you figure that's going to correct. But,
you would hope. Yeah.
But they just need to make sure. I think they're going to win tonight. I love games like this. I can't wait. I was with James Worthy this morning, and we were both like coming out of our shoes for this.
What
game
are you
tonight.
And Worthy just like hanging out for breakfast?
We golf
hanging
a lot.
Out, you go to the Starbucks.
No,
oh,
we golf a lot. Thursday is a golf day for us. But
okay,
so we're both saying you get very few chances.
How the hell do you do this? You get up, you golf.
Right.
You come here, you do a 3-hour show,
then
you
straight
go
to the game.
Studio and you go and do the game. How do you possibly do that in a day?
Because I love what I do. And tonight, and I'm going to tell you why tonight I especially love it. As Worthy pointed out, you get very few chances in your career to show people what you're really all about.
Right.
And everybody, yesterday when we did Purgatory, you and LZ and George are saying Anthony Davis is underachieving. Anthony Davis is not a top five player. Anthony, he's that, here.
Nobody said he's not a top five player.
We LZ
said
did.
Play, we said
that's exactly what
like,
LZ said.
He didn't play like a top five player in game one.
Right. So tonight is his chance to show everybody. Really, this series is his chance to show everybody what he's all about. And I didn't think LeBron played poorly, but Lindsay says there's a whole playoff LeBron. Ron,
so does Joe Barton.
Yet.
He says there's right. there's a different gear that we haven't seen yet, which
so
is scary, I think, for Portland.
Yeah, maybe we see it tonight.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't he bring it out tonight if Lindsay and Joe Barton are right?
Activate playoff LeBron.
Right.
You know, John,
so I think the possibilities tonight, Mace, are endless.
I'm thinking that it may be time to play with the starting lineup.
I don't think he's going to.
I don't think he's going to, but I'm still going to lay out my theory.
Okay.
JaVale and Dwight gave him 28 minutes in the game.
Yep.
I want to see AD at the five. I want to see him drag Nurkic or Whiteside out to the three-point line, clear out the middle, create driving lanes, create some room to get to the rim, create some drive and kick opportunities. I want to see the paint a little bit more clear, and the best way to do that is to play AD at the five.
I think you're going to see AD a lot at the five because that's the lineup where Kuzma goes in.
Correct.
So you would see LeBron out there with two guards. I mean, right now the guards are Danny Green and KCP.
KCP.
And then
LeBron, Kuzma, AD.
And Kuz.
That's been their best lineup this year.
Well, that'll be the lineup that probably plays the most minutes together tonight. But let's see. I mean, they've got to solve this problem. It's no secret what Portland's doing. They're doing what Toronto did to Milwaukee last
sure.
year. They're building a wall in front of the paint, and they're putting Hassan Whiteside down there, who's an excellent shot blocker, and he got five blocks last week. And they're saying, okay, we know that you're the number one percentage shooting team in the league. We know that you guys shoot 48% from the field. We're not giving you layups and dunks. We'll give you anything else. If you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us with mid-range. You're going to beat us with threes. If you bring it to the rim, we're either blocking it or fouling you.
But you're saying if AD drags those guys around, if he drags them outside, that doesn't change that dynamic.
I don't think it will. I think what will happen is...
You think those guys are going to just stand in front of the rim and let AD stand at the arc?
Yes, and shoot. If you look at it, if you look at the last game, Mace, he had plenty of elbow jumpers. He just didn't make them. And he normally makes them. He's normally a good shooter. So Anthony Davis is going to have to decide. Oh, let me ask you. What would you do? You're Anthony Davis.
Yep.
You get the ball at the right elbow. You know what the elbow is?
Yeah, I know. And I also have one myself. Yeah.
Okay. But that elbow is
do
not
I
what
know what the elbow is? What are you doing?
Okay, the elbow is where, well, I don't think every listener knows. The elbow is where the free throw line meets the key on either side.
Yes.
Okay, so it's about a 15-footer.
Mm-hmm.
All right? If you're Anthony Davis and you set up at the elbow.
Yep.
And Hassan Whiteside backs off.
Correct.
What do you want him to do? What do you want AD to do?
I want him to take it to the rack and draw the foul.
See, I'd want him to shoot it.
I'd want him to
I think that's
to
a wide open 15-footer. Now,
I want to see him take it to the rack and make two free throws.
If he starts making that shot, then they have to come out and get him. And that opens then you get what you wanted in the first place. If the Lakers just make some outside shots, I don't think Portland has the discipline to continue to leave them open. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But last game, they didn't make those shots. They didn't shoot well from two. They didn't shoot well from three. They just didn't shoot well from anywhere. They missed 11 free throws.
Yeah, in fact, if some of those guys would have made shots, if KCP or Danny Green would have made shots, LeBron would have wound up with 20-plus assists.
Easy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I
and that's not even playoff LeBron yet.
Now if you take five of them, Mace, if AD takes five of them and they're just not going in, then I'll sign off on your plan. Just take it to the rack. They can't guard you. Go ahead and go for it. But, you know, they put Wenyen Gabriel on him last game.
Yeah.
And AD got him in foul trouble right away, but then the Lakers ended up missing 11 free throws as a team. They lost by seven.
Well, here's a nugget. Here's a sassy stat. With Whiteside and Nurkic on the floor at the same time in game one, they were a plus 12. So we're going to see that
but
combination.
That, right. Well, you know why? That's the protect the rim combo.
Correct. That is.
That's them giving everybody outside shots. But if they get open mid-range shots tonight, the Lakers just need to take them and make them. If they take them and make them, it changes everything. Because then Portland has to come out and get them, and then the Lakers attack the rim. So I'm looking forward to tonight. I think that you're probably nervous, right?
I am nervous.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm nervous. I get nervous. I love
playoff games. I think the Lakers are favorite. You know what we're finding out? We're finding out that the bubble is the great equalizer. When no team has home court, when no team has fans, you got to show up.
Mm-hmm.
In all these series, there have been upsets. I firmly believe, Mace, that had they not thrown Kristaps Porzingis out of game one, that the Mavs would be up 2-0 on the Clippers.
Completely agree. In fact, let's talk about that next, because I would argue the Clippers are in some trouble. That's coming up next for you. Tanya Ganguly is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. She's, of course, a regular beat writer for the Lakers. We'll get her take on what's going on. We got all the usual stuff today. And again, pay attention to everything we say. Something could win you a key to a brand new Mazda CX-30 from John Patterson. So pay attention to everything. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey, 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 hey. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. What is going on? From one of the great seminal movies of all time, The Breakfast Club. It was a band, Simple Minds, I think.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, last night there were a couple of things on TV watching simultaneously. I was keeping an eye on the Dodger game. They did not have a good night. Julio Urias did not look right from the start. And then Dennis Santana kind of blew up, and the Dodgers lost to Seattle in Seattle. They've got another game coming up a little bit later on this afternoon. It's Clayton Kershaw on the mound. And then switching back and forth last night to the Dallas Mavericks Clippers game, and I am happy. I am very happy to say that the Clippers are in trouble. Woo woo!
Well, I think the Clippers are going to win the series, but Dallas has been the better team for both of these first two games.
Amen. And, yes, they have.
And only because the refs gave the Clippers a huge kiss in game one are they not down 0-2. Now, that doesn't mean they can't come back, but the Clippers were kind of hanging their hat on the fact that they were this elite defensive team that could lock down anybody, and they haven't been able to lock down Luka Doncic at all. He's got 70 points in the first two games. That breaks Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record for scoring in the first two games of your career in the playoffs.
Only one guy scored more. In his first two games. Do you know who it is?
I thought it's Luka now. Didn't he break Kareem's
record?
No, it's
George Mikan.
Oh, okay, going way back.
But that's how far you have to go back to find a performance like that.
Right. So I think Dallas, you know, like I said before, I love their team. I like their coach. I like Luka. I like Porzingis. The Clippers better realize that they're in a fight, or they could lose. And you could say the same thing about the Lakers. Portland and Dallas caught huge breaks here because they don't have a home court disadvantage.
Correct.
Those games all would have been at Staples Center. The three games we've seen so far, the one Portland Laker game and the two Dallas Clipper games, all would have been at Staples Center.
Yeah.
And those guys all would have been sleeping in their own beds and not having to travel and had their own fans. And none of that matters now.
Well, that's
when
I say
you better show up.
You know, I say you don't want to go down 0-2. In a normal series, you would be going down 0-2 and losing your first two home games. The impact is not the same because you're going to be playing in the same damn place with the same, with your own virtual fans, but you're not going to have a home court no matter what. So it's not like Portland stole one in game one because it's not really a home game for anybody. By the way, you know, I'm going to be a virtual fan come Monday.
I think Sedano is too.
Yeah, me and Sedano, front row. We're going to be in the front row. I'm excited about that.
Now, how are you going to cover up the fact that you've gained 20 pounds?
I've got one word for you: hoodie.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, a hoodie.
I thought maybe a Laker poncho might be appropriate.
A Lakers poncho. I could call. No, I won't say that. Who's got a Lakers poncho handy?
The name of that you were thinking. Did you not say it because you're afraid Amanda will get mad at you?
No, I just don't want to say it because I don't want to promote anybody else.
But a Laker poncho would work.
Yeah, Lakers poncho I will look into. I'm going to be wearing sunglasses. I'm going to be wearing a black, wearing black, very slimming. Wear a black Lakers t-shirt. That's not bad.
I would wear a black Lakers sweatshirt if I were you. Maybe in a month or two you can wear a t-shirt.
You know, I hate to make this admission, but even after yesterday and the conversation about Greg Bergman, and you know,
I'm gonna
Fat
win
Greg,
mythical money because Fat Greg's gonna get to 190 before you get to 200.
And last night, John broke down already on donuts.
Yeah, I know. You have no willpower. That's why I bet on Bergman.
So where do you get your donuts, Mace?
DK's Donuts in Santa Monica. I got to tell you,
and
the
finest
donuts.
They deliver to him.
No wonder. That makes a lot of sense.
And you want to hear the worst part, Jorge? They we get a side of cream, so we get these vanilla cream donuts.
Wow. And those aren't fattening or anything.
And then we get a side of cream.
Wait a minute, though. How come Juan's not fat?
Juan has got a better metabolism than I do.
I guess so. He's not fat at all.
Yeah, Juan's not suffering from this. It's just me.
Yeah.
I'm the one with the crap metabolism.
Right, well, he's younger.
He's younger,
too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It does make a difference. But, yeah, no, I was happy to see the Clippers struggle. I'm very happy to see
them
struggle.
Well, okay, and to be fair to them, Patrick Beverley didn't play, but they were, you know, supposedly this unbeatable juggernaut that the majority of ESPN experts picked to win it. And what I'm saying is I think they're, Mace, I don't know who it's going to be, but I think a favored team is going out in the first round. I think one of the top four seeds is going out.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the top three, the three teams that people think can win it, Milwaukee, Lakers, Clippers, are a combined 1-3.
There you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's another sassy stat. I've got so many sassy stats today.
Okay. So normally, you know, when somebody issues a statement, it's all lawyered up and it's boring and
very formal.
You know, blah, blah. Do you know what's going on with Masai Ujiri, the president of the Raptors?
I do, as a matter of fact. I've seen now the video of it.
So here's what happened. When the Raptors beat the Warriors last year, it was in Oakland. And so the Raptors win. They win their first ever NBA title. And Masai Ujiri, who is wearing a suit, runs down to the court so he can celebrate with the Raptors. And an Oakland security guard, an Oakland police guy, stops him, and he says, I'm the president of the Raptors. I'm going to go celebrate with my team. And Masai reaches into his jacket pocket to grab his credential.
Yep.
So he can show the officer his credential. And the officer shoves him hard. And for a long time, the people at Oracle Arena, which is where the Warriors used to play, contended that Masai was the agitator, that he was he looked violent, or he looked like he was storming the court.
He just won a championship.
Right. And Masai insisted the whole time that that's not true. He was moving down to the court normally, and that it was the officer that was the aggressor.
Yes.
So it was a he said thing. As it turns out, this week, video came out of exactly what happened. And Masai Ujiri was telling the truth the whole time.
Yep.
You see him walk up to the rope. He's moving onto the court. The guy stops him. He says, oh, let me get my credential. And the guy just shoves him.
Yep.
And after he was shoved, Masai said, hey, what are you doing, man? And he kind of came back at him. So he just released a statement. I won't read the whole thing because it's long.
Is this Masai Ujiri or is this
just
the
happened.
Police officer?
Masai Ujiri. Just happened. Okay. But this is how a statement should read. You can tell he wrote it. Okay, and I think that if we communicated this way, it would be better. Here's what he wrote. Thank you to everybody who's expressed disappointment and concern regarding the video that was recently released. My family and I are deeply grateful for your care and consideration. This video sadly demonstrates how horribly I was treated by a law enforcement officer last year in the midst of my team, the Raptors, winning its first championship. It was an exhilarating moment of achievement for our organization, our players, our city, our country, and for me personally, given my long tenured professional journey in the NBA. Yet, unfortunately, I was reminded that in that moment, despite all my hard work and success, there are some people, including those who are supposed to protect us, who will always and only see me as something that is unworthy of respectful engagement. And there's only one indisputable reason why that is the case. It's because I'm black. And he goes on to explain that this is why, that because he has the money of the Raptors behind him, he was able to get justice. But that this type of thing happens to black people all the time. And he ends it with, that's why it's important for us to keep demanding justice. Black lives that mattered. He lists all the people like George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. And then he says, he ends it with, and justice for black people around the world who need our voice and compassion to save their lives. Those are the ties that bind us. With love and determination, Masai Ujiri. And he's right about one thing in particular. Had he not been like an executive of an NBA team, this wouldn't even be a story.
No.
Nobody would even care. And because he is, and they have video, and he has the resources to get this story out, he's able to make a difference here. But it doesn't make it any less egregious.
No, not at all. Not at all. And it's
so
just
good
something.
Good for him for not just sweeping it under the rug and not saying anything.
Yeah, I'm totally glad about that. Yeah, and you know what? Being an NBA, even as an NBA executive, if you are black, or if you are, I'm trying to think of the other guy. Who was the guy that got busted up at the bar in New York? Thabo Sefolosha.
Yeah.
Got injured in an incident. Even if you're an NBA player or if you're an NBA executive, it doesn't protect you from this level of systematic racism that exists in our culture. And that's one of the reasons why players have been so good and so eloquent on issues of social justice down in the bubble. So, yeah, good for Masai Ujiri.
All right, so this is interesting. I just got a text from someone named Raister, okay?
Raister.
Or a tweet. He says, Ireland, knocking the Clippers will not make the Lakers look any better. Clippers will figure it out. Hey, Raister, I'm not knocking the Clippers. I'm praising the Mavericks. The Clippers have no home court advantage, and either do the Lakers. These other teams are not going away. All right? Dallas and Portland are not rolling over. The Lakers and the Clippers, we are all assuming the Lakers and Clippers are going to meet. And I picked the Lakers to win the whole thing. I'm
yes.
sticking with my pick. But anybody can be upset at any time in this bubble. That's what the bubble is.
Sure.
It's hard. It's hard. There is no Staples Center home court for either one of these teams. If they don't make shots and they don't defend, Dallas and Portland can win. And we've seen it. We've seen it in both cases. The Lakers and Clippers are not rubber stamped into the Western Conference Finals. So it seems to me that that both Laker and Clipper fans are very defensive about the other team. The truth is the Mavericks and the Blazers don't care.
Correct.
The Mavericks and the Blazers are going to show up. I'm really confident the Lakers are going to win tonight. I think LeBron and AD are going to lead them there. But they
playoff LeBron.
Yeah, they got to play.
Yep,
got to play
it. By the way, I got a text from Greg Bergman. You're done, dude. I just did 30 push-ups and planks.
There you go. You didn't do any planks.
It is what you put in your mouth. It is not the exercise.
How many planks
what
did
you
do?
In your mouth. I did. I haven't done any.
How many push-ups you do?
I didn't today do any put. That doesn't mean I won't do them at some point in the future.
Let me speak to you in a language you'll understand.
Yeah.
Pay him. Pay that man
his money.
Pay me. Pay me. I'm betting on Bergman. Pay me.
All right. Coming up for you next is Tanya Ganguly, who is Lakers beat writer. We'll get her thoughts on what went on in Game 1 and what we're looking forward to in Game 2. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And proud to be part of the mega sports lineup. Starts with Keyshawn, Jay Williams, and Zubin in the morning, followed by Mike Greenberg, Max Kellerman, and then us 1 to 4, George and LZ at from 4 to 7. And then tonight we got Lakers basketball coming at you. Game number 2, Lakers versus the Portland Trailblazers. And joining us right now is the Lakers beat writer for the LA Times, Tanya Ganguly. Tanya, thanks a lot for coming on. How are you?
How are you guys?
We're okay, Tanya, and I'm glad to hear your voice and that you're up and running down there in the bubble. Let me start with this. Is there anything that the Lakers would have to worry about, in your opinion, if they just started making shots? Is that the obvious and simple solution to what ailed them in Game 1, or is it more complicated than that?
I think that is the kind of obvious problem. And, you know, if they were slightly better at shooting, I mean, it was a pretty close game. There were some breakdowns that they had in the final 4.5, 5 minutes that kind of let the game get away from them a little bit. But it was a close game until then. And I think that the fact that they were shooting so poorly had a big impact on that. And if they're able to fix that, then great. They played really great defense against the Trailblazers, who were the best bubble offense. They've been the best bubble offense, and they only scored 100 points. The thing is, I don't think they can just sort of assume that the shots will start falling and hope for that. I think they're going to have to find a way to make sure that even if they keep shooting like this, they can win some games.
You know, Tanya, one of the things, and I dug this up coming into the show, is that if you go from the trade deadline to the shutdown of the league, the Lakers were 22 in offensive rating. They're dead last in offensive rating in the bubble. In your view, aside from shooting, what is wrong with that offense?
Yeah, I mean, they've struggled with playmaking. I think that their issues at guard really have shown since they've been in here. I mean, it's in large part because they're missing two of them. I think we all knew, all, you know, you guys and all of us who followed the team closely knew that losing Avery Bradley was going to be a pretty big deal for the way that this team likes to play. And I think you're definitely seeing that. You know, what I thought heading into this series was that, and this still could come to fruition, what I thought was that the Lakers' advantage in the front court is so great that even though they have a slight disadvantage in the backcourt, slight maybe not the right word, but even though they have a disadvantage in the backcourt, they would be fine because they're so valuable. But, you know, I mean, if you, you know, when we're talking about shooting too, though, they were missing the little gimmies at the rim too that typically they wouldn't miss. So overall, they just couldn't get the ball to go through the hoop.
Tanya Ganguly, who is the Lakers beat reporter for the LA Times, is with us. Tanya has been in the bubble. She'll be at the Laker game tonight, which we'll have for you here. Tip off at 6:00. Tanya, what are you seeing with Anthony Davis? He's had some games in the bubble where he's been spectacular and other games where he's really struggled. What are you seeing?
Yeah, they really want Anthony Davis to be as aggressive as possible and to sort of exploit opponents as well as possible. And one thing that they keep telling us, that Frank Vogel especially has kept telling us about wanting AD to be aggressive, is that it's not just about the way he, you know, the way that it's not just about kind of imposing himself on defenders. It's also about, you know, if they leave you open, you can shoot threes. And obviously he's had a couple of games where he's done a good job with that. Obviously, I think everyone's a little concerned or a little hesitant maybe to be enthusiastic about anyone shooting threes on the Lakers right now. But I think that they want him to be aggressive and sort of have the confidence to do that. And during the seeding games, that worked out pretty well for him.
Tanya Ganguly is with us from the LA Times, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So I've gone to a very scientific research project here, Tanya. I've put out a poll on Twitter, and you know how accurate these things are. So I suggested move Kuzma into the starting lineup, move AD to the five, and I asked people if they agree. 83% say yes, 17% say no. Do you anticipate any change in the starting lineup, and what adjustments do you think we might see in the rotations?
I don't anticipate any change in the starting lineup right now, but I think it's something that Kuzma has been thinking about for sure. You know, we asked him yesterday what he would think about. Does he think he would be able to help in that lineup? And he said, well, I'm a confident guy, and so me saying yes is just me being confident. But I'll do whatever they ask me to do. But they didn't play. I mean, I think that they didn't play JaVale McGee very much in game one. And I think that lineup that has Kuz in there along with LeBron and AD, that's something that, you know, AD just doesn't like playing the five. But I do think that AD is also very conscious of wanting to do what the team needs. And in this kind of situation, if they continue to have problems with him with him, if they continue to have problems in settings where he's not playing the five, I think that he would be more than willing to step in and do that if it's needed.
Tanya Ganguly is our guest. Tanya, explain for us, you know, we're seeing a lot of upsets early in these bubble playoffs, and I think a lot of it probably has to do with the lack of home court advantage for anybody. What we see on TV is that one team is given the signage and the court. The Lakers will have it again tonight where it'll be the Lakers virtual fans. But what's it like inside the bubble? What do they hear? Do they hear those fans? Do they hear anything other than the squeaking of the sneakers? Do you feel there's any home court for the team that is designated as the home team in these games?
So what they hear is they don't just hear themselves. Right now they're hearing pre-recorded, piped-in crowd noise.
Okay.
So when the introductions happen, you know, they hear cheers for all the starters and the biggest cheer for LeBron James. They hear if the Lakers are on offense, they'll hear music, and if the Lakers score, there'll be a big roar, and there's a lot of noise in the building. So it's not quiet in there, but the noise is not coming from it's not coming from the fans that are on the video board. One cool thing that they did in game one was they had footage of actual fans at Staples Center, like from games. And some of the footage was like from way back. Like there was like a one shot that had to be from the 80s. Like just like a crowd shot of fans at Staples Center. And so that was pretty cool. And I think we probably would have talked about it more if the outcome of the game had been different, but they're trying, you know. The PA announcer that typically is in the arena where the Lakers play, his name's Olivier Cedra, and he was the PA announcer in Cleveland when LeBron was there. So there's a familiarity there. But they've also sent Lawrence Panter's recorded voice for a lot of the calls, for the introductions they do it, and for some
is
of
it,
the calls.
Wait a minute. So, is it Lawrence Tanner's voice for the introductions?
I've
heard it, Tanya. I've heard LT introduce him. I think it is.
Yeah, I know that they sent. They sent several recordings of him saying all different kinds of things that they try to mix in there during the game.
All right, Tanya. Last thing for you. What do you expect tonight?
Oof. I don't know. It's so hard to know what to expect. I mean, you have to imagine that the Lakers, they don't believe that the way that they played was who they are. So, you know, I saw Danny Green and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope shooting after practice yesterday. I mean, you have to think that they will recover and be able to win tonight. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to be sure that they're going to fix their shooting woes, because so far in the bubble, they really haven't been able to do that yet.
All right. Hey, Tanya, thank you very much for the insight. We appreciate your time a lot. Continued success there in the bubble.
Thank you. No problem. Thanks,
Tanya. Bye.
There's Tanya Ganguly, LA Times. You know, John, I want to do how about you? I want to do this Tom Brenneman story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fascinating story. Last night, Tom Brenneman, who's a broadcaster for the Cincinnati Reds, was caught on a hot mic saying something offensive. He has been fired by the Fox network so far. He has still not been, because he does NFL and stuff for Fox, but he has not been fired from his job with the Reds as of this moment. We will get you up to date on that story, and if you haven't heard it, it's a fascinating one. That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. It is a big Thursday because we've got game two of the Lakers' first-round series against the Portland Trail Blazers. They are down 0-1. Take a break from that because there is a really interesting story out of Cincinnati. The Tom Brenneman is a longtime broadcaster, great broadcaster. It does a lot of NFL for Fox. He's the voice of the Cincinnati Reds for Fox Sports Ohio. And last night, he was caught on an open mic coming back from a break. Hit that.
Capitals of the world. Reds Live, the pregame show presented by Ray St. Clair Roofing.
So you may wonder what he said.
I know how you can explain what he said. He said a word that rhymes with rag, but
right.
Instead of the R in front, the letter F was in front of it.
Correct.
And
as the resident gay guy, I will say the word is fag.
Okay. And because he said that, there was an immediate reaction.
Yes.
The internet picked up on it. It was in the first game of a doubleheader. By the second game of the doubleheader, the Reds told him he had to hand over the mic to the other play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
Normally, you have a couple of play-by-play guys around that can, you know, do the middle innings, or a lot of teams do. And like the Dodgers have Joe Davis most
right.
of the time, but Tim Nevert will come in and do a few innings.
Sure.
Or Joe's got another assignment, whatever. So Tom was told that he had to leave, but they let him apologize, which is rare.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed to understand. We're going to play his apology for you. In what is one of the oddest things ever, Mace, a guy hits a home run in the middle
so
of the
weird.
Apology.
So weird.
And he just matter of fact, yada yada is the home run.
Yep.
But you'll hear that he realizes he's fighting for his career. Here is Tom Brenneman's apology.
I made a comment earlier tonight that went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck, for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight. I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. That is not who I am. And never has been. And I'd like to think maybe I could have some people that could back that up. I am very, very sorry, and I beg for your forgiveness.
All right, so obviously he realized the severity of the situation. Mace, if you were the Reds and you were running broadcasting, would you accept his apology and let him go on, or is he done?
I think he's done. I take that particular gay slur very personally, so, you know, I've got a slightly different perspective. But the thing that bothers me is he said it so casually that, to me, that says he probably uses that word all the time.
Lindsay, you're from Ohio. What do you think?
I think he apologized for getting caught, not for what he said. Because nowhere in there did he apologize for anybody he offended. He apologized because he knew that he was in trouble. And I just think it's BS.
Well, would you accept the apology and let him keep his job, or would you?
No, he's got to go.
All right. I'm going to make an argument here that I always make because I hate cancel culture.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, I was working a Laker game, and Kobe Bryant yelled the exact same word to a referee.
Correct.
To a guy named Benny Adams. And it got picked up on a mic. And the NBA heard it, and they hit Kobe with a really stiff fine.
I think it was $50,000.
Yeah. And it was the only time in my career that Kobe came to me, Mace, I don't know if you remember it, and he said, "Can I come on your show today?"
Yep.
And I said, absolutely, whenever you want. He goes,
by the way, he was fined $100,000.
Okay. So he also went to, at the time, I can't remember if it was already Spectrum Sportsnet or if it was still KCAL, but he went to them and said, can I do a sit-down interview with Stu?
Yep.
And he did. And it was a guy that said, look, not only is this not okay that I said it, but I want people to understand what happens to people if you accept that language. And he goes, I don't accept it. And he goes, I'm going to pay the fine. I'm going to make a donation to, you know, to gay and lesbian causes. And I'm not going to say it anymore. And I want people to know that it's not okay what I said. And that type of language needs to be shouted down. And it starts with me. And Kobe got through it. And he was allowed to continue. Now, I'm not naive enough that I think Tom Brenneman is an athlete who can't be replaced.
Yeah, Kobe cannot be replaced.
Obviously, Kobe can't be replaced. DeSean Jackson was allowed to get away with his screw-up earlier this year because he's really fast.
He's
and he
DeSean
catches
Jackson.
A lot of touchdown passes.
Yep.
But somewhere, Mace, I think we are canceling so many people. And if we continue to do it, these people need to be allowed to work again. And if they fire him, there's no way he's getting another job. He's going to have to change his career arc. Now, maybe he's got enough money where he can retire. A little background. He's been a network announcer for 25 years, and his dad, Marty, is a Hall of Fame announcer.
I grew up listening to his dad do the Reds games on AM radio when I was a kid growing up.
So if I came to you two, you and Lindsay, and I said, guys, this guy has a body of work. He's been our announcer for 13 years. He's been a network guy for 25 years. Fox has already fired him.
Right.
From the network. His dad is a legend in our market.
Yep.
If I agree to suspend him without pay for the rest of this season, and if he shows the proper amount of contrition, and he does what Kobe did, and he does interviews and openly shows that he is remorseful, I'd like to give him an opportunity to come back next year. What would the two of you say?
I'd say that listening to the original statement. Do you have, Jorge, the original thing that got him in trouble? The original
the
open,
one that's beeped.
Yeah, the one that's beeped. Okay.
Capitals of the world. Reds Live, the pregame show presented by Ray St. Clair.
So my issue is he said it so casually. He said it like a guy who says it all the time.
Right, but do you think after this he'll ever say it again?
Well, no. I mean, I would certainly hope not. But I think
so
what,
why cancel him?
If he would have said the N-word, what would have been the result? Would you have changed your opinion?
That's a great question. And we just had this come up last week where the guy from the Hornets
was typing about the Houston Rockets and it came out the N-word.
And I said he's got to go because the league is so predominantly black. I'm kind of being a hypocrite here, but the argument I would make for Brenneman, and I don't know him, I've never met him, I know a lot of people that know him, would be body of work. That there has to be some account for his body of work and for the name Brenneman in Cincinnati. And I don't think he's going to survive it, Mace. I think your and Lindsay's course of action is the likely outcome here. But I hate I hate cancel culture.
Right.
I hate
but at the same time,
keep canceling people.
I just want to point out that word is as virulent in the LGBTQ community, as the N-word would be to everybody else.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's not. It's a word that you just don't throw around. And you know,
I agree with you that he did look like he was very casually throwing it around.
Yeah, I mean, he did. Did it strike you that was the first time he ever said it?
I do not believe it's the first time he's ever said
it.
Matter of fact, I there's certain words that I would just never use. That's one of them.
Yep.
Here's a question for you on Twitter.
Okay.
If he would have said the gay capital of the world, would that have been acceptable?
I'm not sure what city he's talking about.
Right.
Is he talking about San Francisco? Is he talking about L.A.? Is he talking about New York? Like, what city is he actually talking about?
A friend of mine, Lindsay, just texted me, who listens to the show all the time. Lindsay is incorrect. One of the first things he said was, I apologize to anyone who I have offended. Mace, did you think his apology was sincere?
No, I hate the I apologize to anyone I offended.
Yeah, yeah. What I meant by the was like he didn't genuinely apologize to those who genuinely were offended. I don't think, like Mace said, he didn't say anything about.
If you use the phrase "if you were offended," that's a little mealy mouthed. Like what Kobe came out and said was, "What I said is not okay, and here's why."
Right.
Like, he didn't seem like he took any accountability for it. He just seemed like, oh, crap, I got caught saying something I shouldn't have said.
If I hurt anyone out there, that's the sort of statement.
Yeah.
If I hurt anybody out there. I think probably generally a good guy, but clearly has a blind spot in this area.
And you're not willing to let him rehabilitate that spot on the Reds' payroll. You think he has to go?
I am not.
Okay.
And as a great announcer, you can get another job. Why can't he get another job?
Well, I think it's the same thing with all the people that have been fired because of the Me Too scandal.
Yeah, but that's different.
They could get another job, but it's unlikely.
But if you're guilty of sexual harassment or sexual assault, that's not cancellation. That's punishment.
Well,
that's
first
punitive.
Of all, if you're guilty of sexual assault, you should be in prison.
Correct.
But if you're guilty of sexual harassment and you get fired for it, chances are you're canceled. You're never getting another job because all people have to do is Google it. I mean, I wonder what we do with all these canceled people. Like, what we do with them. Like you could say that, like, you think that guy from the Hornets is getting another NBA job?
The one that typed the N-word?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, either do I.
You can't just put the N-word out on Twitter.
Right.
I mean, this is just like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, if what you say, and I take you for your word, that what Brenneman said is equal to what the guy in Charlotte said, maybe he does have to go, but I the future prospects for either of them would not be good.
Yeah. All right.
By the way, this just in. Okay. And I hate this, but Mets have a COVID case. Tonight's game canceled.
Ah.
Yeah. Sorry. All right.
All right. Not an outbreak, a case, at least as of right now. All right. Coming up next for you is The Scoop. All the stuff from today that we haven't talked about yet. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.